Happy Sunday, everybody. Enjoy this episode. Become a member. Members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. And become a member to support this program. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Hello, everybody. Great to be here in Tulsa. I want to make sure I get the city right. I'm all over the country. So honored to be here, everybody. Thank you. And was that not the most enthusiastic worship? Should we give them another round of applause? That was great, everybody. I'll tell you, that is not easy to do. I want to thank Shane for putting this on, and it's just terrific to be with all of you here. So for those that don't know, I'm Charlie Kirk. I run Turning Point USA, all Turning Point Action, also host a podcast called The Charlie Kirk Show, and so honored to be with you guys. I do a lot of stuff in the political arena, but the most important thing in my life is the decision I made in fifth grade out of the suburbs of Chicago when I decided to make Jesus Christ the chairman of the board of my life. Most important decision I made. And I travel the country, I go to college campuses so you don't have to, and by the way, Oral Roberts is one of the exceptions, I have to say. This is one of the better schools in the country, so I will make this an exception, but basically I'm fighting for truth, and more importantly, I'm fighting for liberty, which is God's idea, not man's idea. And if we are honest with ourselves, our country and our nation is in a very sick position right now. And the reason I believe that our nation is in a sick position is because Christian men have failed the test over the last couple of decades. We hear a lot about the feminization of our culture. What exactly does that mean? Well, first and foremost, one of the reasons why we are seeing the feminization of our culture is we have leaders that cannot even tell you what a man or a woman is. It's not an exaggeration. In a Supreme Court hearing, Ketanji Brown Jackson, now a Supreme Court Justice of the United States, was asked the question, what is a woman? And she sarcastically responded, what am I, a biologist? I can't answer that question. Now, it is silly and we can make fun of that, but this is what happens when a nation no longer has the Bible as the bedrock of our society. No longer where Scripture is the ultimate authority. There is no such thing as a cultural atheist. Something will replace your worldview. Something will be your God. That is why the first of the Ten Commandments is, of course, I am the Lord your God who delivered you out of the house of bondage of Egypt, Exodus 21, and then Exodus 22 goes on to say, you shall have no other gods before me. Everybody has a God, and if that God is not the God of the Bible, a God that is omniscient, ubiquitous, a God that is personal, and a God that loves you, there will be another God. And that God might be the God of transgenderism, the God of anti-racism, the God of environmentalism, the God of social media scrolling. Something will replace that. And in our culture, we have, as men, have allowed Christianity to no longer be the bedrock and the backbone of this society. And we have allowed these other parasitic idea toxins that I believe come from the pit of hell to infect our culture and our nation. Now, we go back to that, what is a woman? We go right back to the scriptures. When God created the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When there was creation, he created separation and order. Distinctions are what keep us free. Now, we as Christians take these distinctions for granted. Distinctions between good and evil. Distinctions between man and nature. Distinctions between male and female. Distinctions between the holy and the profane. Everything that the modern secular project is aiming to do in this nation is to blur, confuse and destroy the distinctions that God established in creation. And it is incumbent when the church is not, when the church is silent on these distinctions, don't expect a secular world to be able to answer these very simple questions. It is easy to place blame on others, but I'm going to talk about two things in particular that we see in our society that it is simply because of the lack of courage and clarity from Christian men and from churches as to why we are seeing this. And the first is what they call the trans agenda or the trans movement. Now, I have been so sorely disappointed at the lack of rebuttal from the Christian world on what is happening to our daughters and happening to our sons via the guise of the trans agenda. What exactly is happening here? We are seeing the destruction of God created male and female. We are seeing the obliteration of the distinctions. In fact, it is so bad that in some states, thankfully not Oklahoma, by the way, but in some states around the country, that if a 13-year-old boy says he is a girl or a 13-year-old girl says that she is a boy, that without parents' permission, they can go get themselves medically mutilated under the guise of trans-affirming, gender-affirming health care without even notifying the parent, and they are irreversibly damaged for the rest of their life. Now, if you do not believe in the God of the Bible, you can easily come to that conclusion because it's their truth. Because why are we to say that they are wrong? Why are we to say that that child is not completely, that understands that they just feel different in a different body? Because God didn't create male and female. You are what you choose. It's gender assigned at birth is what they say. In California, it is so bad that a teacher is not allowed to tell a parent if a child is transitioning. They are not even allowed to notify a parent. And understand, that is why the only one of the Ten Commandments that involves your country and a promise is honor your mother and father so that you may live long in the land of which you are in. A nation that no longer has children honoring their parents is a nation that will no longer be free. We have seen the destruction of American masculinity where dads impregnate their counterparts. I won't even say wives because many times they're not even married. I'll just say they're partners and they don't stay loyally with them. Where 75% of all babies in black communities are born without a stable father around. 45% in white communities and 50% in Hispanic communities. Where over half of marriages in this country result in divorce. And it's easy to point fingers, but it begins with Christian men. With Christian men is where it must begin and it must end, and most importantly in our churches. Now, I'm going to just say some very blunt truth, and I always try to give speeches under the attempt to not be invited back. So if I offend you, you might not be a man, because the idea of a hyper-offended culture is a feminist idea toxin. Oh, I'm so afraid you're going to say something I'm going to be bothered by. So I don't really care. The status of modern American Christianity is a husk of its former self. Church should be a place where you are reminded that you fall short of the glory of God. Church is a place that you need to be told by your pastor, by your shepherd, that you need to repent, and repentance will lead you to revival. Church is not a place where you go and hear a TED talk from a motivational speaker with good music, organized parking, and above average coffee. Church is a place where you honor the holy and the divine, and you come at the cross and you say, only you, Jesus Christ, only because of you we have life, not because of me or my decisions or my bank account. What is missing in American Christianity is a hot, masculine gospel. Instead, we have a watered-down, feelings, emotional-based, feminine gospel. And if I'm bothering you, it's because I'm telling the truth, because you know it is right. Where you go to church and they say, no, I'm not here to offend anybody. It is your job as a pastor to say the word, and if it offends somebody, it is their fault, not the word's fault. What does it mean to be a man in America? Being a man in America is not posing on Instagram with a bunch of girls in bikinis and an AR-15 trying to sell you some sort of masculine coffee. Yeah, okay. That's easy. You know what being a man in America is? Saying something that is true that will get you fired, canceled, or somebody says a bad word about you. Everyone's a big macho man until they have to go to work and share Jesus. Oh, I'm a big man. I shoot machine guns. Oh, yeah, okay. You're what the kids would call LARPing. You know what that is? You're live action role playing as a man. The most masculine people that I know are the ones that go into places where they are not welcome, they were not invited, that they will be booed off stage, and they still proclaim the truth. That's what it means to be a man. Not to be like, I'm such a man. I ate 3 pounds of bacon this morning. Yeah. Call me after your next angioplasty. Means nothing. By the way, obesity and gluttony is a sin. We as American men have to call out obesity in our own ranks and say that we are too fat as a nation. So stop talking about how you have 3 beers while watching football and maybe get yourself in shape. And being a man is saying no to your impulses and no to your flesh and no to what makes you feel good. And maybe you're being around so that you can actually see your grandkids graduate from college. Oh, that one really bothered some people. Woo! Charlie, I was with you till you said we got to lose weight. Well, you know what? The Bible tells you repeatedly that those that if you love the flesh, you are dominated by the flesh. We don't talk about it enough in our own Christian circles. Anyway, I digress. Shane will never invite me back. Mission accomplished. How often do we see in this country that people who say that they are doing their best to be masculine and tough, but they just go along to get along? And it can be as simple as you know when you're supposed to do the right thing. You know when you're supposed to stand up for righteousness or for truth. I'm going to give you 2 examples recently of heroic men. One that should get more coverage and one that got a fair amount of coverage. Anyone know the story of Daniel Penny? Story of Daniel Penny in New York. This should be the number one news story in the country. This is a good man. And he was riding the subway in New York, minding his own business. A woman was being violently harassed by a lunatic in the subway. You'll remember this story as I tell you. He could have sat idly by and just waited for the police to come, which they do not come in New York anymore, as you well know. It's become a third world dangerous city. But he, something inside of him, being a veteran, was not going to watch a woman, someone that could not protect herself, someone that could not stand up for herself, just continue to be berated while he had the power and the ability to stop it. He intervenes, puts this lunatic in a chokehold. Unfortunately, the lunatic passed away because of that. He is now on trial for murder while other people stood by and they did nothing. While other people just kind of watched this incident occur. The man who stood up to be a hero to protect a woman from potentially being hospitalized, hurt, or even death from being harassed in a subway is now being put up for murder. And other people are saying, well, why didn't he just wait for the police to come? Why didn't he just wait for somebody else to come? Because he embodies what is now largely dead in this country and what we need to bring back, which is that if you see an injustice happening in front of you, it is your duty and obligation as a man of Jesus and a man of the Lord to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. But the culture calls that toxic masculinity. You know what was toxic masculinity? Those 18 and 19-year-old boys that stormed Normandy Beach. That would be called toxic masculinity. They did the right thing and they didn't know what the result was going to be. Toxic masculinity. I love this term. How often have we ever been allowed to say what toxic femininity is, by the way? Oh, that's a thought crime. You're not allowed to say that. By the way, that's why I have a full-time job just saying things you're not allowed to say. I love when, you know, I get a kick out of it. Somebody just went when I landed. Someone came up, you asked for a picture. He said, Charlie, I wish I could say the things that you say. And this guy, I tell you what, I could throw him into a UFC match and he would be successful. I mean, he's huge. He's massive. And he looks as if he... I said, well, why don't you? He's like, well, I'll just lose my job. Okay. He's like, well, that's scary. Okay. And if you're afraid of, like, losing your income, what? You think that when you go in front of the divine and you say, well, I didn't trust you that much, God. I needed to be able to, you know, get the paycheck. Does God call us in Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous? Parenthetically, unless you have to pay for a mortgage, want to go on a vacation, continue to make your credit card statements, be strong and courageous only if. And you might say, well, Charlie, it's really easy for you to say. I mean, yes and no. I mean, I get my fair share of daily death threats and people that want to murder me and kill me. But you, I totally acknowledge it. I am born with a genetic deformity that I wish you had, which is that some people like me and I don't care who hates me. I totally acknowledge I have a genetic deformity. I really don't care if people say, well, you know, I don't like what you have to say. The mark of whether or not you are going to be a man of the Lord is if you will be like a Daniel. You know, it's so funny during all the lockdowns, which, by the way, another failure of American Christianity, another failure of American men. We need to repent on our hands and knees and ask the Lord for forgiveness that only Christ can provide, that we allowed them to lock down schools, take Easter from us, Pentecost from us, shut down our churches, and call the bride of Christ non-essential, while we just kind of sat around and let the government destroy an entire generation and turn that generation to the most suicidal, alcohol-addicted, drug-addicted generation in history. If the men of America would have rose up during the lockdowns, they would have ended the same afternoon. But instead, in a feminine culture, you know what a feminine culture does? Yes, sir, Big Daddy government. What other rules would you like? Mask while I shower? Absolutely. 9 booster shots? You got it. Oh, a mask while I'm driving alone? Absolutely. A masculine culture says, this is outrageous. I'm not following it. What are you going to do about it? That's what a masculine culture would have done. But we don't have a masculine culture. We have a rule-following culture that is swallowed by the bureaucracy. We have a culture that wants to be approved, that wants high status symbols. We have a, this is why they try to pummel you on a daily basis and call you toxically masculine. Because the way that this changes for the better in this country is where the men of this nation, and specifically Christian men, say, no, I'm not going to do that, actually. I'm not going to call you by that fake pronoun. I'm not going to wear the mask. I'm not going to vaccine. I'm not gonna, if you want to do that, it's fine. But you're not going to have me do it. You're certainly not going to touch my children. And let me say it again. What are you going to do about it, pal? As soon as that attitude changes, these people are weak, fragile, paranoid, and afraid. And they want you to act as if we have so much to lose. That is a feminine spirit in the worst possible way. Toxic femininity is constantly walking around an eggshell saying, well, I don't know if I can say this because that's politically incorrect, or I don't know if I could say this. Now, don't get me wrong. We need a balance between the feminine and the masculine. Both are beautiful. And by the way, you have a biblical obligation to love your wife like Christ loved the church. And that is that must be repeated on a daily basis. Biblical masculinity is not watching pornography anymore. Biblical masculinity is raising generations of young men to know not to seek pleasure or the flesh, but to obey God in all that we do with humility, integrity, honesty. And the other name I want to mention that has gotten a fair amount of coverage is someone that in a moment's notice is the best of what a biblical man is. And I would say if I pray that in a 5-second interval, I would act the way that this man did. This guy by the name of Corey Capitone. Anyone know that name? I'm glad that you do. Corey Capitone is the firefighter in Butler, Pennsylvania, where President Trump gets shot in the ear, but other bullets, unfortunately, missed even further than that. And shots started to get fired, and this firefighter, his initial reaction was to put his body over his daughter. Tragically, he passed away, but his daughter is alive today. Let it be our prayer that when we go like that. That is, right there, a perfect picture of what it means to lay down your life for those that can't protect themselves. That right there is the perfect example of what it means to be a biblical man. It's not fast cars. It's not all that nonsense you see. It's, you know what? No, in that 5-second interval, I hear shots fired, I'm putting my body over my daughter's. That she may have life because I'm willing to sacrifice everything. It's at 2 o'clock in the morning when there's a noise in the house, it's you that gets up with the gun or the baseball. It should be a gun, by the way, or whatever. And I'm so flummoxed by this. This one kid came up to me, a good young Christian kid, and he's like, you know, I can't find a girl, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah. I was like, okay, you know, tell me about it. He's like, yeah, you know, we were going out for a date, and the check came, and we were all paying our part. I said, wait, what do you mean, paying your part? He's like, yeah, you know, we split the bill. I said, what are you talking about, splitting the bill? He's like, yeah, you know, we split the bill. I said, well, what kind of a man are you, splitting the bill when you take a girl out on a date? He's like, well, I don't have all the money. I said, I would go into debt and knock doors and beg on the streets before I allowed my wife to pay for any date, let alone the first date. The humiliation? Oh, let's split this. No, it is your role to lead with confidence. It is your role to put the financial burden of the family on your back. It's your role to stay steady when things get unruly. It is your to split the check. Where does this come from? And he's like, well, you know, my pastor, my youth group, well, that's the first problem, obviously, you know, said that it's, you know, customary to do that. And that might seem like an insignificant thing, but it's a very, very big thing. Could you imagine in the World War II generation when they come back from World War II and they go out to dinner and they're like, yeah, let's split it? You know your grandfather's generation. No way. And I want you to think about that generation because, and I'll say this as I close up, which is that generation had something which is one of my favorite words that is missing in America today. It's one of my favorite English words, which is duty. We do not teach our children about duty. The idea of duty is a narcissism killer. We have a narcissistic generation right now. A narcissistic country. It's all about me, all about self, my feelings, my choice, my decisions. Christianity is at odds with narcissism because Christianity has duty within it. Because once you give your life to Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, and you get life eternal, all of a sudden it's not all about you. It's about, what should I do? What ought I do? What does God want from me? What are the duties and the obligations that are expected out of me? And one of the reasons why we have a collapsing fertility problem in this country, one of the reasons why we're having less children than ever before, one of the reasons why we're having less people married than ever before, is because they're actually asking a rational, self-centered, narcissistic question. They're saying, well, this is hard, so why should I do the hard thing? And the answer is, well, because you have a duty to get married and do hard things and to go on an adventure, and your feelings are far less important than what one ought to do. And guess what? While we're at it, if you think, oh, you know, that's hard, do you know what's even harder? Being in your mid-40s and childless and not married, and the amount of regret that has brought so many people in this country. But they took the easy way out. I'm talking about men and women that end up on that path. Because we have painted a path that don't do the hard thing, don't do the difficult thing. And what we need is a clarion call of what happened in Genesis 12. In Genesis 12, the best reading of this is God basically tells Abram, stop being a bum. Leave your father's home. You're like 85 years old after all. I think that's about right. 85? Yeah, it was about 85. Something ridiculous. And go on an adventure. Go do something. I'm calling you to go do something. To be a biblical man in America, it's not about keep playing it safe. It's not about just serving yourself. Moses is another great example. Moses had it all. Moses was living in Midian with his father-in-law, Jethro. He got along with his father-in-law. Pretty amazing, might I add. They liked each other. And God called them on an adventure. Exodus 3, he saw a burning bush. The fire was not consumed. And basically Moses was like, why me? Why do I have to go on this? And Moses' life was miserable from that point forward. Moses had to lead the most unimpressive group of people in the history of ancient literature through a desert for multiple decades. They complain, they whine, they fight. And Moses, at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, is like, I did the best I could with these people. And by the way, that's how I know the Bible is true, is because only God could deliver the Hebrews out of Egypt. There's no way they could have done that on their own. No way. They see quail blown off course, manna from heaven, all the miracles, and they're like, can we go back to Egypt? At least we had meat. We had better food. We had like a Texas Roadhouse, even though Pharaoh was killing us and our babies, throwing them in the river. But at least we had, you know, ribeye. You think I'm kidding. It's Numbers 14. You could read it for yourself. To go on that adventure and to trust God with obedience is what's missing. And so the question and the challenge in front of us, the question is, will Christian men commit to what really matters, to the divine, to the beautiful, to the good, with courage and with purpose? And that does not mean just acting, you know, trying to bodybuild and lift weights and all that stuff. It's deeper than that. It's the next time that you are confronted with saying the hard thing and the honest thing, and you know it comes at a price to your flesh or yourself, you say the true thing. The next time you see somebody who is suffering or is being treated unjustly and you can intervene, you do something about it. You stand up to the bully. You stand up to the TSA person that might be, you know, holding up an entire family unnecessarily. You put your own neck on there and you choose what is right over what is comfortable. They want American men to be weak, put into corners, afraid of your own shadow. But they know that if men and Christian men start to recommit to the truths and the promises of the Bible, that this country can and will be saved. I hope we'll do it. God bless you guys. Thanks so much. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.